Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I tell you what, we're living in interesting times, aren't we? And I'll tell you what, like we said there a moment ago, as this society, you know, continues to grow darker, that just means we have an opportunity to grow brighter and brighter. Folks, I'll tell you what, the days are here, and of course they have been here. It is time to show the world what the sons and daughters of God can do and what a life looks like when it's lived beyond fear, you know, and beyond concern, but we walk in the strength, in the supernatural power of God. How many of you believe in the supernatural God? I believe that God is a God of miracles. I believe God is just waiting to flow to us and through us. Praise the Lord. Well, turn with me in your Bibles today. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And today I'm going to call this message, The Manifestation of the Lord in Your Life. The Manifestation of the Lord in Your Life. And of course, the word manifestation, it means to reveal or to show oneself. And so we're going to talk about how God wants to manifest himself through us. Praise God. Aren't you blessed to know that God has chosen you and I to reveal himself to the world? Amen. But the question is, can the world see it? Can they sense it upon us? They should. And if they're not seeing that upon us, then we've got some changes to make. Yes. Because I tell you what, the supernatural glory of God wants to get upon us, to be visible. God wants us to come and dwell in his presence. He wants us to be intimately aware of him. And I tell you what, if you see God and you see how big he is, how capable he is, I'll tell you, the problems in your life are gonna seem so much smaller. The troubles in this society will seem so much smaller. And I'm here to tell you that you can get to a place in your life where you don't ever have to worry again. Amen. And I'll tell you what, the world needs to see that with us. Yeah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and we're going to go to verse 14. And today I'm going to be reading out of the Amplified Bible. I understand you might not have an Amplified Bible there with you, but we will have the scriptures up on the screen. Of course, we always encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. But this week, I've just been studying out of the Amplified. I love how it renders these scriptures here today. It just really helps us to know and to understand this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And this is a verse that you may be familiar with. I certainly have meditated on this verse quite a bit in the past. And now in the Amplified, it says this. It says, but thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. Well, I don't know about you, but I like that. And he says, and through us, God spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. That people can see you. They can listen to you, and it's like a fragrance of heaven that they start to pick up on the fact that God is upon your life. I don't know about you, but I want that. But I wanted to begin today by just establishing this simple fact that God wants to manifest through our lives. He wants to show his glory upon us and through us. He wants to reveal himself to this world through our lives. And I don't know about you, but that excites me. Glory to God. But notice how he does it, who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory. That people will see the apparent influence of God on your life because you are victorious. Hallelujah. I want to be a trophy of Christ's victory. Now notice Paul the Apostle, he is the author here, of course, by the Holy Spirit, but he's not saying you won't go through trials, but he does say that the Holy Ghost will lead you in triumph as a trophy of Christ's victory. So there might be a lot of trials. We know that Paul himself, he went through a lot of trials, didn't he? I mean, this man was shipwrecked, literally. The ship sunk from underneath him at one point when he was traveling. He literally had to tread water for a day and the night in the deep by himself. Five times he was dragged out of the city and lashed 39 stripes upon his back. He was stoned. He was beaten with rods. The scripture tells us that he was thrown in jail unjustly. He was robbed on the road as he traveled. He dealt with perils of false Christians. He was beaten up by the Jews, all the things. So Paul isn't saying that you'll never go through trial. But Paul is saying, everywhere I went, as I submitted myself to the will of the Lord, victory just kept on following me. Those things did not defeat Paul, but he kept rising above, and people saw God on his life because he was a trophy of Christ's victory. Because he didn't give up, because he didn't give in, because he did not get weak with the dark society that was around him, Paul lived a fearless life, and he lived a victorious life. And all the time, God was manifesting through this man, where now 2,000 years later, we're still talking about his life because he was that faithful. Amen. Glory to God. How many generations will your life reach? Okay. How far into history will your influence travel? With so many believers, when they're gone, their influence is going to be gone. But it doesn't have to be that way. I don't know about you, but if the Lord tarries and doesn't come back in this lifetime, if we even have that much time to have several generations left, I want my influence to be speaking to whatever generations we have left. Amen. Glory to God. So I just wanted to simply show you that God wants to manifest himself, reveal himself through us and to us. Now, go with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14. And now I simply want to show you how this happens. How you begin to make it possible for God to reveal himself through your life. Now, folks, I'll just be honest. If you sit here today and you just don't care about this, then there's a heart problem there. There's a heart problem. Folks, I tell you, and I say this to myself. I say it to you, to the churches that I pastor, to as many as I can. It's time to start running faster with God. It's time to pick up those knees. It's time to call upon this supernatural God. It's time to fellowship with him. It is time to give our hearts 100% and learn how to yield to the Holy Ghost, to watch him perform miracles around us. Because I'm telling you what, I know and I believe that these churches are going to be used mightily to bring a bunch of souls into the kingdom. But folks, it's not a minister's project. It's what we do together as a church family. And if we're slow in our spiritual lives, I'm telling you, a lot is going to go unaccomplished, and we cannot let that happen. Go to John 14, and we're going to start in verse 15. And like we usually do, I'm going to read the passage, and then I'm going to go back and teach on it. Now, I'm reading out of the Amplified because I believe it really just draws out the truth here. It really helps us to understand it. And this is a familiar passage. John 14, 15, and 16 are one large conversation from Christ, and Jesus is speaking. And boy, he does not leave any middle ground here. All right, if you really love God, we're going to find out. He's going to know it. We're going to know it. All right. All right, now verse 15, Jesus speaking. Jesus says, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commands. And now he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about the instructions of Christ. Now, of course, when you follow the instructions of Christ, you'll never break the Ten Commandments, right? So obviously, Jesus taught us that when you follow the love command, it fulfills all the rest, okay? Jesus says, if you truly and really sincerely love me, you will obey my commands. He says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. Who's he talking about here? All right. Don't sound so sad about it. Who's he talking about here? The Holy Ghost, right? You know, we don't have the Holy Spirit. I tell you what, Christians got to get that Eeyore out. Stop talking like Eeyore in church. Whatever. I'll tell you, anyway, well, praise the Lord. Don't need to get on that soapbox here today. He said, I will send the Holy Ghost, who's the comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. He will remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or welcome or take into its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. All right? Praise the Lord. He says, I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn. See, that's what Eeyore was. He was forlorn, dragging and sad and down and desperate and helpless. The Lord said, I will not leave you comfortless, desolate, and helpless. He says, I will come back to you. He says, just a little while now and the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me because I live, you will live also. He's talking about the resurrection. He says, at that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Glory to God. Judas, not Iscariot. Don't want to be confused with that guy, because there was the other disciple named Judas. And the author, of course, the Holy Spirit, you know, the author of the scriptures, was very polite not to confuse anybody. Judas, not Iscariot, the other one, asked him, saying, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself and make yourself real to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said, if a person really loves me, boy, he keeps saying that, doesn't he? If a person really loves me, he will keep my word and obey my teaching. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, our abode, and our special dwelling place with him. Glory to God. All right. So there is a lot going on here. Go back up to verse 15 and let's get what we need to know. All right. What I'm going to do here is I'm first going to show you how you open the door to the manifestation of the Lord in your life. Then we're going to give you three things that the manifestation of the Lord will do in your life. You want it. You got to have it, right? Verse 15. All right, go back up to verse 15, and let's talk about how you at least first make it possible for the Lord to manifest himself in your life. He wants to manifest. Yes. God is not playing hide and seek with you and me. He's playing show and tell. Amen. God's not looking to hide himself for you. He wants you to clearly see him in your life. All right, Jesus says in verse 15, he said, if you really love me, you will keep and obey my commands. The love for God is first and always demonstrated through obedience. The Lord is saying, if you don't obey my commands, you can't really love me. Boy, and he destroys any and all middle ground with that statement. All right. And so when we know the commands and the instructions of the Lord, but we don't follow it, all right, we're compromising our love for him. Wow. See, when somebody loves God, they will have an urgency to listen to his word because they have an urgency to obey. Yes. Folks, I see it as a pastor. I deal with many Christians, and I see people who have it, that untangible, truly, sincerely desire in their spirit to hunger and obey after God's word. They have what I call an urgency for everything the Lord says. They write it down. It's so important to them. They take it home. They rehearse it. They make sure that they're doers of it. Because obedience always begins by obeying the word of God. Amen. Folks, listen, I've seen Christians that do not have that urgency, and I'm telling you, I watch their lives get devoured by the devil. But people that have that urgency, I see so many of you here today that I would say you have that, whatever it is. You know, that sincere urgency for the Lord. Amen. To hear, to listen, and to obey. This is why it is so important to be in a place where the truth is preached without being compromised. Because when you're in a place that truth is being preached, obedience can now be possible. You know, it opens the door to obedience. Yes. We got to be in a church where truth is priority. So then obedience can be the priority. Folks, we're not here to fulfill a religious ritual here today. We're not here to check a attendance box. We're here to be closer to Him.
Amen.
Amen. We're here to be obedient, to learn, to be corrected if need be, but also to be encouraged. Thank God. Just sitting in these chairs is not the priority. Just listening to this sermon come to your ears is not the priority. The priority is to have an urgency to obey. Miracles will happen for those that have an urgency to obey. The power of God is going to flow to those who have an urgency to obey. One of the things that that absolutely hurts my heart the most as a pastor, when I see people who claim to be saved and they have no urgency to obey God. They have no urgency to get where the word is being taught. Come on now. And I'll tell you, if this last year and a half has proven anything in the body of Christ, it's just how little that urgency has become in the lives of believers. Folks, let's show people what on fire for God looks like. Yes, praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so what is obedience? Listen to this. Obedience is the first thing we do to yield to God's will and to His Spirit. All right? Hearing the word and obeying it is the first lesson we get in yielding to the Spirit of God. All right? To obey means to yield. What does yield mean? To yield to God means to prefer His will over your will. To yield to God means to let go of your insistence on your preferences. Let go of the insistence for your preferences. Oh, here we go. To yield means to get closer to the Father. Oh, yes. Amen. It means to surrender our will to Him. It means to know Him more. It means to know Him in a more intimate way. It means ultimately to yield to Him, to let Him have His preference in all that you say and do. Folks, I'm telling you, if we're going to accomplish what God has for us in the future, we need to yield. So many Christians, they never understand what it's like to hear the voice of the Holy Ghost in their life and to yield to that. All right? They hear pastors, they hear other Christians say, the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord told me to do this, that, and the other, and I did it. And they hear that, and they're like, that seems so strange. This Christian over here is saying that God talked to them and gave them instructions, and they were living like this life that was just directed intimately by the Lord. So many Christians never get to that point because they first don't yield to the written scripture. When you hear the word and you yield to it, you are now giving the Holy Ghost permission to speak to you personally, to guide you intimately. For example, how many of you believe that the scripture teaches us to forgive people? Okay, at least 10 of you believe that. All right. How many of you believe that the scripture teaches us to forgive people, right? Woo. Folks, if you're like, this pastor is always making us respond. Hey, I ain't gonna do all the work around here. We're in this together, right? And the word teaches us to forgive one another but yet if you keep a rivalry with somebody, if you won't forgive them, if you won't forgive those that have violated you or trespassed against you, well, Jesus said in Matthew 5:46, he said, if you love them that love you back only, what reward do you have? There's no reward for you and for me by just treating people right who treat us right. You know, but when you forgive those that have, you know, trespassed against you, when you let go of those grudges, all right, you are now yielding to the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is not a grudge holder. He is not sitting there holding on to a grudge. He's forgiving and merciful. You yield. When it's time for praise and worship and you see folks that are lifting hands and shouting praises, what are they doing? They're yielding. Because we're not doing that to look charismatic. We're doing that because it pleases the Lord. Psalm 134, verse 2, lift your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. But when you know that and you just keep standing there doing nothing about it, when you've never pushed yourself to offer and to yield your flesh before God, it's an act of surrender. See, if you won't do that, there's a place in your life that you are unyielded to Him. Or let's take tithing, everybody's favorite subject. We know what the scripture says, but yet many Christians don't tithe. Now, I don't know who's a tither in here and who's not. You know, I don't go look personally or anything like that. But when we know that the word says that and we don't do it, we are unyielded to God in that area. And here's what we have to know and understand. You can be faithful in many areas, but if you're not yielded in an area and you know it, even though you're faithful in several others, it still can hurt you. And here's one thing that I've learned, you know, as a believer, as a pastor, as somebody that just wants to be, you know, faithful to God, that whenever I have failed to accomplish something for the Lord, I can trace it back, and it always comes back to a place where I did not yield myself to God. All right? So many struggles in life can be traced back to a place where we would not yield to God. I'm telling you, if you're stuck spiritually, if you feel like you're spinning your spiritual wheels, if you feel that you're not growing spiritually, or if you're not, if you feel like you're losing interest in the things of God, just feeling like you're not fellowshipping with God like you used to, look for a place in your life that you are not yielded to Him. So many times, those barriers, they exist. And if you have a barrier between you and the Lord, you've got to get it out of the way. Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you really love me, Jesus said, you will yield to my word. All right. Whether it's forgiveness, whether it's praise and worship, whether it's tithing, whether it's serving, whether it's the voice of the Holy Spirit telling you to do something. So many times the Holy Ghost will speak to someone and said, hey, go bless that family over there. Give them $100 or whatever it is. And Christians will be, you know, all of a sudden that fear will rise up in them, you know, and they won't do it. Or have you ever been there before where, you have an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody and you know in your heart you're supposed to tell them about Jesus and lead them to the Lord, but yet that feeling just rises up in you to stop you? Have you ever been there before? All right, the same 10 people. Right? You know, what is that? That's an opportunity. Yield to that. See, if we don't yield to the written scripture, we will never learn how to yield to the spoken word of the Spirit into our life. It is going to be the spoken word of the Holy Ghost that is going to open new doors in your life. That's going to open promotions for you, open opportunities for you. But if you're dull in being yielded, you'll never hear that voice of the Spirit. I'm telling you, we as a church, we as believers, we need to become more yielded to the Father. We need to yield to the Holy Ghost because He cannot do anything in our midst until we yield. Whether it is lay hands on the sick and the sick miraculously recover, whether it's to cast out demons, you know, what is prayer? Prayer is an act of yielding.
Very good.
It is an act of, Father, come closer. Yeah. You know, taking time to pray in other tongues. What is that? That's yielding to him. Coming to church on Wednesday nights when it starts back up. That's an opportunity to yield. We need to become more yielded in our private lives.
Amen.
Listen, and I'm preaching to myself. I'll always be honest with you. None of my messages that I've ever preached, I'm not exempt of them at all. Amen. Actually, just the opposite. I've got to lead the way. I've got to be that example. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've got to be more yielded. All right. Why? Look at verse 16. Here's why yielding is so important. Jesus said, and, meaning because you are urgent to obey, because you've learned to yield to the written word, I will ask the Father, and he gives you the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, and the standby, that he may remain with you forever. Now, folks, you and I, we both know that the Holy Ghost is already here on this earth. All right, if you're born again, you were born of the Spirit. And then there's a subsequent experience being filled with the Holy Ghost. All right, both are acts of the Holy Spirit. We know that he's here on this earth, and we all have had an experience with him if you're born again. All right, obviously, the filling of the Spirit is the second experience of the Holy Ghost, when you get filled with the Spirit. And if you have questions about that, I wrote a book on that. You can have one. Get knowledge of it. If you hang around long enough, we will teach you on that. All right? But note it, we know that the Spirit of God is already here, but think of it also this way in this principle. Once you're yielded to the Word, now the Spirit can move into your life, or he can move upon your life, or the Lord can manifest in your life now that you are yielded to the Word. All right, think of all that we have cost ourselves by not yielding to the Word of God. Notice the Comforter. Notice in the Scripture, it's the capital C. That means it's supernatural comfort. It's supernatural counsel. It is supernatural help. It is supernatural intercessory prayer when God will step in. When you don't even know what you need to know, right? He is a supernatural advocate. He has supernatural strength. But if we're not yielded, we don't give the Holy Ghost the ability to be those things in our life. The more you yield to him, the more supernatural ability is going to surround your life. We need to become people that are more yielded to the Father. Yielded to his word, yielded in obedience, yield to him in prayer.
Yes.
Some people sit here and they act like they don't care while others are fervently writing it down, putting that urgency to work. More power, more miracles will happen around your life, okay? Verse 16, because you obey, because you yield to the word, in comes the comforter. In comes the counselor, supernatural counsel. That means divine direction. God can't speak to us until we obey. Supernatural help. How many of you want some supernatural strength in this life? Yes, supernatural standby. That means he's always ready to fight on your behalf. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, we don't want to risk losing out just because we won't yield. All that we cost ourselves. Yes. If someone is lacking the help of the mighty Holy Spirit, it's because there's an area in their lives where they are not yielding. Uh-oh. People don't like to hear that. Like I said, any time in my life where I failed to accomplish something for God, when I trace it back to its roots, I find a place where I did not yield to him. Yielding to God creates a space for the Holy Ghost to be strong in your life.
Amen.
Yielded to him. Tender-hearted before him. Urgent to obey. Hungry to know him more. hungry to see him? Are you hungry spiritually to see God? See God with the eyes of faith. I am not saying that Jesus is going to physically appear and have coffee with you every morning. I'm not saying that Jesus is going to show up on a cloud and bring you your Starbucks. Though that would be great, but for me, make it Tim Hortons. I don't need to drink any more of that Seattle gut rot. That's what, that stuff is like, anyway. Oh, I think that stuff is like thicker and stronger than the sealant on our blacktop out there. It is, actually. I think it would have done better to seal it with Starbucks coffee to be honest. Oh, never mind. Woo, praise the Lord. All right. Yielding to God creates a space for the Holy Spirit to be strong in your life. Once you grow, you know, to that point where you're yielding to the Word, then you start growing to that point where you're yielding in prayer. Father, I just submit my life before you. You're like David where he says, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, show me, reveal it to me. Father, reveal your plans, reveal yourself, reveal your nature to me. Speak to me supernaturally and I'll go. See, this is that yielded lifestyle that so many Christians are getting away from, but we are not going to let it get away from us here. All right. Look down at verse 18. I'm still in my introduction here today. I've got a couple weeks to make up for. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, Eeyore, and helpless. He said, I will come back to you. Notice that this supernatural help is available to every one of God's people. He said, I won't leave you helpless. I don't believe that that was just spoken to the apostles. Right. I believe that that was spoken to every Christian believer on this earth. Why is that spoken to every believer? Because we all have the opportunity to yield. And he's saying, when you yield, when you really love me, when you really obey with your urgent heart, he said, you will never be helpless. Amen. See, God is not a respecter of persons. But why does it seem like some Christians walk in the supernatural strength of God and others do not? Let me explain why. Because not all Christians live at the same level of willingness and yieldedness. Yield to the Father. Yeah, he said, I've not left you helpless. You are not desolate. Oh, this is why I'm going to show you here in just a little bit. You don't have to live this life afraid of one thing. Not the loss of a job, not the loss of a loved one. You don't have to live in the fear of death. You don't have to live in the fear of a virus. You don't have to live in the fear of a bad economy. You don't have to live in the fear of a bad political party or two bad political parties. You don't have to live in the fear of what's going on politically. When you get a glimpse of God, all those things in your mind are going to be settled. When he becomes bigger in your mind than your problems, you're going to start walking in freedom. I'll tell you what. This is going to upset some people because they think I'm saying it politically. I'm not saying it politically. God is bigger than the Democrats. God is bigger than the Republicans. God is bigger than any law that's being illegally put on our books here today. Stop getting so agitated, and believe me, I'm preaching to myself. We're going to get to that. Because all people are at different places of willingness and have different levels of yielding, that's why some seem to walk in the strength of God and some don't. Yielding is our answer. Because when you get in there, and you're going to see here in a moment, when you see God, you say, what do you mean, Pastor, you've seen God? Yes, I see him every day. Say, he does bring me coffee. No, he doesn't. He doesn't. But I get my own coffee. You can guarantee you that. All right. You know, we're talking about seeing him with the eyes of faith. Seeing so clearly his influence around you. Being so clearly aware how close he is to you. How strong his help is. Glory to God. Being aware of his capabilities. Being aware of his favor that surrounds you like a shield. Some Christians, they're not aware of those things because they're not yielded. Say, well, I obey the word. You can obey the word of God as if it's a rule. But what God's looking for is those that obey with an urgent heart. You know, there's a big difference. Well, I followed every rule. Yeah, Jesus told a lot of those Pharisees, yeah, you followed all the rules, but you didn't have the heart. Because yielding is about getting closer to him, seeing him, all right? If you, like I said, if you're stuck spiritually, this is your answer. Yes. Find that place in your life that you are unwilling to yield. Get rid of that thing. Deal with it. You know, if your marriage is stuck, so many marital problems can be traced back to one or both that will not yield to the Father. They're not yielded, and troubles ensue. Oh, yeah. Okay. So this is what we have to do if the supernatural help of the Holy Ghost can move into our life. Step one, you got to yield. Now, let me show you three things that this passage gives us of what can happen in our life when we're yielded to him. Yes. Yielded to him, all right? Go to verse 21. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Now, start the clock. This is when my message begins, right now. All right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let it rain. All of a sudden, I heard some noise. I'm like, are we being drawn up? Is the rapture happening? The Lord is manifesting. Or the cloud is descending with the Tim Hortons coffee. I see an abundance of rain. I do see an abundance of rain. Because you know what we need around here? Is more rain. I don't know about you, but man, I tell you what. 2 inches of rain a day just isn't enough. You know, I don't even need to put your boat in the lake this year. Just put it in your yard. Oh, glory to God. Snow in the winter, rain in the summer. Gots to love it. I do love it here because this is where God has me. And we're going to get to be a part of one of the most exciting things that have ever happened to this city. That's absolutely right. It won't be us alone, but I'll tell you what, we're going to play a big part in it, and I'm excited about it. Glory to God. Look at verse 21. Jesus said, the person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. Boy, he keeps saying that. If you don't do his word, the Lord questions your love for him. The verse that changed my life, what I say over there, is it Luke 6:46? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do nothing that I say? I read that verse as a young man who was not living for God, and I was sitting there with my Bible. I just decided to pick up and read my Bible. I came to that verse, and I said, that's me. I had to be sober with myself and said, that's me. I call him Lord. Oh, I used to be at, boy, where are we going on this here? You know, I used to, you know, hang out in bars and go to drunken parties and all this stuff, and yet I was the kid who was talking about Jesus there. I was that guy. But I was doing all the same things that they all were doing, and then I finally realized that's the difference between Christianity, between faith and unbelief. Faith obeys. If you, you know, what you believe is not in your mind. What you believe is in your actions. There's a lot of people, they say, I believe it, but what they're really saying is, I vote for Jesus. Jesus doesn't need your vote. He needs your obedience. Well, glory to God. Some of you are thinking, you know what? Ship him back down to the Outer Banks. All right. The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. Now, I have to stop right here because it almost sounds like God doesn't love everybody. God does love everybody, but that's not what it's talking about here. The term love means supernatural care, all right? That God takes it personally to care for those that are fully yielded to him. God loves everybody, but he can't care for everybody the same way because they don't open the door to him. If they're not yielded, the door is closed to God. Are you here today?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And so it said, whoever really loves me will be loved and cared for, protected and guarded by the Father. That's what he's talking about here. And he says, and I too will love him and will show and reveal and manifest myself to him. This is what we are talking about here today. What does it mean to manifest, for Christ to manifest himself to us? He says, I will let myself be clearly seen. Everyone say clearly. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Number one thing from this passage that we get when we're fully yielded to the Word of God and we start yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God is that we get clarity. Clarity. Clarity to see who God really is. Clarity is when the word becomes so real to you that it convinces you of your victory over the troubles.
Yes, right.
Glory to God.
Amen.
When you see the influence of God so clearly on your life, where now it's like, I clearly see him as my provider.
Yes.
All of a sudden, you never worry again about your needs being met. Do you know why a lot of Christians, they worry about money? Because they have never gotten a clear picture of the provider. Yep. Praise the Lord. Ushers, can you make sure that our cars don't float away out there? Oh, I see one now. Who's the owner of a Subaru? Nah. Praise the Lord. Yes. But when you're fully yielded, you will clearly see the Lord for who he is. You know, somebody that worries, you know, about sickness and disease, and they get, you know, just paralyzed with fear about a virus in the land. It's because they clearly are not seeing the Lord as protector and as healer. Fear is the evidence that you are not clearly seeing him. Pastor, you sound like you're attacking me or criticizing. No, 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 no. We've all been there. We've all been there where we don't see the Lord clearly. And that's what I'm concerned about. If we're not fully yielding ourselves, we're not seeing him clearly as we should. Oh, when you have clarity, you know what to do. See? And now I can see clearly. Now that the rain is gone. Right? When you have clarity, you know what to do in life. Folks, I will say this as a pastor. One of the greatest, if not the greatest liability for Christians in this life is that they don't know what to do.
Right.
Situations arise and they are clueless. They don't know how to respond.
Sure.
You know, and believe me, I'm not trying to be insensitive. I know that there's some real bona fide trials that take place in people's lives. I've been there. I've walked through them myself. I get it. I understand. But I'm telling you, I see Christians, something will come up and they don't know what to do.
Right.
You know why? A lack of yieldedness has made the picture much too dim for them to see. The divine counsel isn't as clear to them as it could be. Oh, are you getting help here? You will become clearly aware of the Lord's influence on your life. And now on the positive side, can't you look back through your time with the Lord and just seeing the times when he supernaturally intervened on your behalf? You clearly knew that that was God. And no one could talk you out of it. There wasn't a natural answer to it. You knew that was God. God showed up in my life. God provided that thing. It might have just been a new job. And someone, you know, that in a carnal mind, they would say, well, people get new jobs all the time naturally. But you clearly saw it. You knew that it was God that provided it. Or he did something in your body, healed your body, you know, and you just clearly know it was an act of God. Right? Or you got your favorite parking spot at Walmart. And favor of God. Ooh, I'm favored today. No, you're favored all the time. And if you drive a pickup truck like me, you know you're parking in the back. You never get the good spots in a pickup truck. Can't turn that thing around, right? Clarity. Don't live a life where you don't know what to do. Amen. All right, here's the second thing. Are you ready? Go down to verse 22. And now it says, Judas, not Iscariot. Just make sure you know that. Not the bad one, the good one. Asked him, saying, Lord, this is a great question. Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself, make yourself real to us and not to the world? So you think about, Judas was asking a very practical question. He's like, how are you going to show yourself to us and have not everyone else see it? Jesus said, it's going to be something special for you. Here we go, verse 23, Jesus answers this question. Jesus answered, he said this. He said, if a person really loves me, he will keep my word and obey my teaching. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home, our abode, our special dwelling place with him. All right. The Lord is saying God isn't going to reveal himself publicly. He's going to reveal himself to you at home. He's going to reveal himself to you in this special dwelling place where you go before him. You are yielded to him. You are hungry for him. You are seeking him. You just want more of him. You want to see him. And God says, I'll let you see me. I'll let you clearly see my influence on your life. I'll let you become so aware of how strong I am. You won't worry about your mortgage payment anymore. I'll let you see how wonderful I am. You won't worry about a physical ailment anymore. You won't be troubled and agitated by the news anymore. The second thing that being yielded, what it produces, is dwelling in this special place with the Lord. It's available to every Christian, but very few Christians live in that place. Right. Do you know that every moment of every day, we should be in fellowship with the Lord to the point where we know what to do? Yeah. Where we've been with him. Do you know that, you've spent time, you know, in that special place with the Lord so that when bad news arises to our society, you're not moved by it? Or bad news arrives to your doorstep, you're still not moved by it. See, it's in this secret place that you become so aware of God's goodness and strength and his miraculous power in your life. Amen. See, that's what praying in other tongues does for you. It makes you more aware. It's another thing that you do to yield to him. Praise and worship is another way that you yield to him. If you've never taken time just personally to go into that secret place with God and just spend several moments just praising and worshiping him, see, that's how you yield to him. That's how you have clarity. That's how you get into this special dwelling place with the Lord. Amen. Notice what it says. It says, God will come with the Lord Jesus Christ and make his home with you. How do you best get to know somebody? When you live with them. Oh, my goodness. And I'm not talking about roommates in college, right? All right. How many of you know that, you know, when you got married, you got an opportunity, you know, to know your spouse once you start living with them? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you learn all this wonderful good about them. And then you start to learn where they throw their dirty laundry, you know, and you learn, you know, all the stuff, right? Well, unlike that, when God moves in, you get to learn of his strength. You know, when God lives in your home, I'm telling you, he's going to pay the rent. He's going to pay the bills. He's going to protect the place. Amen. But notice where God reveals himself to you in this dwelling place. In your home, with you and him in fellowship, hungering before him, in prayer, in worship, in the word. Christians have got to get hungry for God again. I'll tell you what, This past year has been a very distracting year. You know, and I get it. And, of course, please know this. I'm thrilled that, you know, so many families are getting chances to take vacations and things that they didn't get to do last summer. I've noticed this just as a pastor. Every pastor's talking about this, that people are living two summers this summer. Because last year was kind of taken, a lot of those things were taken from us with the pandemic and all that stuff. And so there's so much activity this summer. You know, vacations are great. But folks, just waking up on a Sunday and, you know, seeing that the weather is good. See, this is why, you know, you're here today, because you knew the weather was going to be. Nah, I'm kidding. You're faithful. I know it. I'm just messing around. But when people just wake up, they say, well, we want to do this weekend. We're just going to take off this Sunday. We're just going to go do this, do that. And all of a sudden, you look back over the summer, and you've been in the house of God half the time. Listen, you know, God's still first. Say, well, Pastor, you were just gone a couple weeks. That's right. I took a vacation. Take one. Take one. But I'm talking about just waking up frivolously and saying, we're not going to church today. We're going to go do this instead. Go do that after church. God has got to be first with the body of Christ again. Amen. The secret dwelling place. And now thirdly and lastly, here's also what you get when you're fully yielded. One, you get clarity. Two, you get invited into that secret dwelling place. Folks, we got to get back there. Some of us need to get there for the first time. Say, well, Pastor, I've never come to that place in my Christianity where I've separated myself alone, spoke to God, and just lifted my hands and worshiped him, you know, and spent time just hungering after him and seeking him. See, so many Christians, they want to do that one time and think that the fireworks are going to happen because they tried it once. Guess what? There's no fireworks just one time. But as that becomes your lifestyle, you become so much more aware. And just know this, it always begins by knowing God in the Word. But you'll never get to that place of the Spirit until you first obey the Word. All right. Third and final, look at verse 26. Jesus still speaking. He says, but the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby. I love reading that. Because when I read that, I say, that's who the Holy Ghost is to me. That's what he is to me. The Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things. He will cause you to recall and remind you of, to bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. Now, here's what he's going to tell us. Look at 27. Verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. I leave it as an inheritance to you. I don't believe this was written to just the apostles. This was written to every born-again believer. How many of you believe it? Ooh, more than 10. All right. He says, not as the world gives do I give to you. Now, because you have the supernatural peace of Christ. All right. And so this, we can call this the third thing. The third thing that being fully yielded to God will bring to you is supernatural peace. Or what we could say to this is supernatural revelation of being delivered from fear. Or if you'll walk in it, you never have to be afraid again. Now, I didn't say that you wouldn't feel afraid, but you won't react to fear if you choose to do this. Imagine if we spent time with verse 27 saying, I have the supernatural peace of Jesus Christ. I inherited it upon his resurrection and upon my faith. I take and believe unto myself the peace of Christ that he left me. What if you spent a few moments meditating like that? Change your life. All right. So Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Neither let your heart be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. And do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly cowardly, and unsettled. Those last four words there describe the body of Christ over this past year and a half. Fearful, intimidated, cowardly, and unsettled. And Christ said, if I dwell in you, if my words dwell richly in you, if you are yielded to me, don't let yourself be afraid.
Right.
Notice it's not up to God. It's not up to the devil. It's up to us. If Jesus said, do not let yourself ever be afraid, it must be possible. He wouldn't tell us not, you know, to do something if it was impossible. All right. Are you getting something out of this here today? Supernatural peace. But I'm just telling you, folks, again, this isn't a criticism. It's not an insult. It's not an attack. Every minister, every believer walks through this, okay? But if you're sitting there living life terrified at what's happening around you, whether it's for financial reasons or terrified by the news that you see or what a doctor told you, listen, you know, people have been there. We've, you know, all these things or thoughts of anxiety and depression. If all of a sudden that stuff is getting control of you and you're sitting there living life fearful, all right, a couple things we know is happening. We have not yielded ourselves. And we have not seen the Lord. We have not been in that special dwelling place where we get such a revelation, where we see him with the eyes of faith. Glory to God. See, when you see God with the eyes of faith, when you truly get that revelation, you won't be fearful, intimidated, cowardly, and unsettled anymore. Did you get some help out of this? So as you yield and obey the word, that's the first thing that we must do. Have that urgency to obey. Okay? Then when we do that, one, clarity starts to come to us. Then we can start moving into that special dwelling place of the Lord. All right? Where we become so aware of who he is and what he does for us. When you see him with the eyes of faith, I'm telling you, there is a place in the Holy Ghost where you become so aware of God, it's like you know nothing can stop you. You're afraid of nothing. But I'll be honest, just getting there one time, you know, yeah, you can have that, but you can completely lose it if you don't keep going back. If you don't keep going back. Oh, glory to God. And three, you'll have supernatural peace. Living life free from fear. That's why we say the world needs to see the manifestation and the demonstration of the sons and daughters of God. As the world crumbles around us, we are still standing. We are more visible. We are there for the world to see as an example of what not, you know, what fearlessness looks like. Amen. Glory to the Lord. You get some help here today? Well, that is the word of God. Let's be doers of it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, you are faithful. You are good. And Father, today we make a decision to be more yielded. All of us can be more yielded. Some of us are more yielded than others. Some of us have been at a place in our life where we've been extremely yielded and we've allowed that to slip. We've all walked through those times. But Lord, that's why we have your word. That's why we can stir up our faith again. Stir up our lives with you. Father, we just love you and praise you. Supernatural God. Supernatural counsel. Supernatural comfort and help. Supernatural strength. Supernatural deliverance from fear and depression. Supernatural God. Father, we thank you. Lord, that you manifest yourself to us, that we would clearly see you with the eyes of faith of what you are, more aware than ever of your great salvation, of your great protection, your great provision for our lives. Father, you are so faithful and good. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Now, with all eyes closed and all heads bowed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? The first and greatest act of yielding ourselves to God is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you have never made Jesus your Lord, I'm going to give you that opportunity. Maybe you're here and you don't know what your spiritual destiny would be. If you were to die today, would you be in heaven with the Lord? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would be with Christ? Or is it possible that you could be separated from God in a place called hell? Hell is real. Hell exists. And I know so many Christians, so many pastors, they don't want to tell you that. But here's the good news. Heaven is real. And God has made a way for all people to come to Him by accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior, to be saved from eternal punishment, to be saved from sin. And if you're here today and you're not sure about where you stand with God, listen, this is not a family church idea. This is God's idea. If you are unsure, get sure before you leave. And simply all I'm going to do, eyes are closed, heads are bowed. I'm not going to make anyone stand up. I'm not going to call anyone down front here today. I'm not going to make you go off and talk to some church leaders in an office somewhere or anything like that. But right there in your seat, if you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I want to know that I have eternal salvation. I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead the entire congregation in a prayer. And right there in your seat, you can receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior and know that you have that eternal salvation. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone within the sound of my voice that you are uncertain? I see that hand and that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that you'd say, yes, Pastor, that's me? I see that hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else that'd say, Pastor, that's me? I want to know that when this life is over, that I'm with Christ. And I'll tell you what, it's not just about when this life is over. It's about right now. Start living for God. It's the best life there is. Is there anybody else before we pray that wants to lift their hand and pray this prayer sincerely? If you lifted your hand, we're all going to be praying right along with you, but speak these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind, but go ahead and speak them out. We'll all be praying and just mean it with all your heart. God will hear you. Everyone pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins, be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Isn't it great to see people praying that prayer with their heart, coming to the Lord? Glory to God. Let's go ahead, let's stand to our feet. Folks, you know, I got to ask, did you get some help here today? Let's yield to Him. I'm looking forward to coming up, of course, in September. We're starting our midweek service in Erie for a few weeks. And then October, we're going to be back here for our Wednesday nights. I cannot wait to get to that. I can't wait to be gathering together, to pray together again, and so on. We're just excited about that. Let's go ahead and just praise the Lord as we dismiss today. Father, we just praise you. We thank you for our help. Father, we are encouraged to yield ourselves to you. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, Amen. You are dismissed.